Today, I'm going to speak the first message in a series of messages on spiritual gifts that the elders are going to be bringing to our congregation. And so the title for today's message is Designed for God's Kingdom, Spiritual Gifts of Leadership, Wisdom, and Administration. So those are the three that I'm going to mainly be concentrating on. There's a lot more spiritual gifts, but those are the three that I'm going to be concentrating on. But before I kind of get to those three, I want to ask, have you ever felt unqualified to do something? I know that my hand would go really high, and I would say, yes, there's lots of things that I feel unqualified to do. As a younger man, I felt qualified, and now sometimes those things that I have experienced with that I thought I was qualified for, I don't feel qualified for. One of those things for me is plumbing. One of those things is working on cars. I don't know, just it's not something that I'm very good at or have a lot of confidence in. And I think that we all feel inadequate to do certain things, and I think that that itself is a gift from God to say, you know what, you don't need to do everything. You don't need to know how to do everything, even though sometimes I feel that pressure as a person living in our society that I need to know everything, but, you know, sometimes I just have to stop and say, I can't know everything. I can't do everything, and so if I could, then I would completely rely on myself and not need anybody. But I can't. I mean, that's not how it is. I'm a human being. I'm faulty. And I really appreciated the message that we've already heard in the prayer, time and the installation service about the Spirit leading and about the message through song about love. I think those go very well with where I want to go today. Because those are all integral parts of being part of God's kingdom. In the kingdom of God, you are an individual, and yet you have great worth in the sight of God. Also in the kingdom of God, His church is one of the primary ways that He works in the world, through His church. And so it's not it's not that the church is all important above, you know, and you as a person don't have much value, and it's not that you have all of the value and only you matter, and the church is kind of like a sad thing, you know, if you want to. It's a both and. In the kingdom of God, it's a both and. And I think that that is a design, I mean, that is a design from God. From Scripture, we see it. It's a design from God that we are individuals, yet united as a body. In fact, Romans 12:5, I'm going to read that really quickly. Romans 12:5 says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one of another." Christianity throughout history has done more than any other group to elevate the worth and the dignity of every person. Whether you're a minority group or whether you're a majority group, whether you're disabled or whether you're, you know, high IQ, whatever it is, you have value because you are designed by God. You are knit together by His wisdom, and you are made in His image. So you as an individual have immense worth, and He has brought you here to be part of this fellowship as one among many, not to stand out as a lone ranger, but as an integrated, connected member of our body, of this body. So, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts over the next several weeks, and you might have never considered the topic of spiritual gifts. Maybe you have, but you've thought, well, I don't have any spiritual gifts. Maybe you have, and you thought, well, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are, and maybe you know exactly what your spiritual gifts are. I don't know where you are, but whether you, especially if you don't think that you have a spiritual gift, or especially if you know that you have a gift to give, but you're not using it, and you want to, hang on throughout this series of messages, because I think these are going to really draw out the fact that you are an important member of this body and that you have contributions to make that God has put in place for the benefit of this church, for the benefit of this community. And Pastor Denny, I really appreciated your prayer, because your spiritual gift is not about you having the confidence in your own abilities, power, intellect, wisdom. Your spiritual gifts are powered by the Holy Spirit. And so that is an important first concept to understand. It's the power of God that's in you that produces spiritual fruits, that produces change, that reaches out beyond where you can reach in your own intellect, in your own caregiving, to care for others and to reach their hearts and to change them. That's the power of God. That's not just you and yourself. And these spiritual gifts are specifically, we're told in Scripture several times, for the building up of the church. And there's just so much to talk about. So don't expect me to cover all of the different angles of spiritual gifts today in this message. I'm glad we have a series on these things, because Mark and Dennis and Ben will be able to also help come at it from a few different angles that will fill in the gaps. There's just so much that we could talk about here. Okay, so why are spiritual gifts important? Or maybe I should say, what are spiritual gifts? I think people may have different definitions for spiritual gifts, but this is the one that I have here. Spiritual gifts are those abilities, dispositions, attitudes, skills, and talents formed by the Holy Spirit in every believer for the benefit and the building up of the church. Spiritual gifts are meant to be normal in the church. They're meant to grow and be developed in a person's life, and they're here to edify the church. Edify means to build up. Why do we need to build up the church? Well, because Scripture tells us that the church is the pillar and the support of truth. The church is the body of Christ, and we are here in the world, reaching out to the world to spread the gospel, to tell others about the kingdom of God and the gift of salvation and what Jesus has done for them and the miracle of the resurrection. So the gifts that you have, that you're given, are intended to be to give back, to build up the church, to glorify God. This is the purpose of all creation. As brothers and sisters come together in love and in unity, and they work together under the lordship of Christ, we glorify God as one of his creations. The church is one of the things that he has put together, that he has designed. And you go outside and on this spring day, you see all the things that God has designed, from the flowers to the little baby leaves that are coming out to, dare I say, the pollen? But if you really think about all of those things, these are God's design, and they're miracles. They're not stuff that is just easy. It's not like I can go out and design a flower in the way and the physiology and the reproduction that God has designed it to have. So we as the church, we as individuals, as we work together in unity, we're a creation of God, and we glorify God. And then also these spiritual gifts help point others to Jesus, because as you more and more rely on Christ, as you rely on the Holy Spirit in your life to live out and empower your spiritual gifts that you have been given, it's not you that gets displayed. You're not put on display. As you abide in Christ and you have a close relationship with him, like a branch in the vine, it's not you that's being glorified. Christ is being formed in you, in your character, in your actions, in your words, and Christ is put on display. And so the use of these gifts, the building up of the church, the unity of the church, glorify God, and they point people to Christ. This isn't one of the main texts for today, but I want you to turn it with me to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, many of you already know what that chapter says. So what is that chapter called? That chapter is called the love chapter. And I want to give you a little bit of context surrounding that chapter. First of all, you've probably heard me say this before. If you've listened to me talk for a long time, you've heard me talk about 1 Corinthians as one of my all-time favorite books of the Bible. It's just, I find it very accessible, and there's just so much there. But if you look through the book of 1 Corinthians, one of the major themes, arguably the major theme, is the unity of the church. From the beginning to the end, every chapter pretty much talks about something to do with unity and bringing the church together. Well, yes, chapter 13 is called the love chapter, and oftentimes it's used in weddings. It was used in my wedding, mine and Lindsay's wedding. So we hear it a lot about a love, and we know it as the love chapter. Well, if you think of the love chapter in the context of the unity theme in 1 Corinthians, it makes a lot of sense too. I mean, brothers and sisters should have this kind of love for one another as we deal with each other in the church. You know, right? I think it's pretty self-explanatory. But and there's a lot that you can dive in and glean from it. Maybe things that you need to work on about your love for the brethren, your love for the brothers and sisters here at Mountain View and in the body of Christ. But even more specifically, chapter 13 is sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14. And if you look at chapter 12, he's talking about spiritual gifts. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." All right, so that sets up that chapter. You've got several emphasis about the different ministries and effects. And he says, you know, we're all one body. We're many members, but we're one body. I just read chapter 12, I didn't read that one. I read Romans 12. But chapter 12, verse 13, we're all baptized into one body. It's by one Spirit. Whether you're Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. So he's talking about spiritual gifts here. Okay? Now look at the very last verse of chapter 12. After talking about all these spiritual gifts, he says, "Earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way." Then he talks about love. Now look at the very first verse of chapter 14. It's like he had just taken an aside to emphasize the importance of love when it comes to unity and the use of spiritual gifts. And he comes back to the spiritual gifts in chapter 14, saying pretty much the same thing that he left off with at the end of chapter 12. He says, "Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." And he continues on his discourse about spiritual gifts. Now, to me, that's significant, that he puts the love chapter in a book about unity right in between the use of spiritual gifts. All right, so I can't overemphasize, and this is why Lori and the worship team, I'm so glad that you talked, we sang about love today. Because the love of the brethren is what binds us all, and it helps us to confidently use and temper our use of spiritual gifts within the church, so that it's an organized use of spiritual gifts, so that it's empowered by the Spirit. And that we continue to have unity as we're bound together in love. In fact, in the middle of, just to kind of push the point one more time, in the middle of the love chapter, he says, you know, all those spiritual gifts that I'm talking about, he says, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, okay, so he's talking about spiritual gifts, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And then down there at the end, verse 13, "But now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." So we can't separate the use of our spiritual gifts from the power of the Holy Spirit empowering those spiritual gifts. this message of unity and the importance of the church from this idea of using them in love. Because at the, I mean, there at the beginning of chapter 13, if you have those gifts of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, but you don't have love, clanging cymbal. The image I get is an orchestra at the beginning of a concert, and they're all playing their instruments however they wish, and there's no unity there. That's like using your spiritual gifts really, really well, but not in an organized way that's unified by the Spirit in the church. But then when they come together and they're led by the conductor, when they're led by the conductor, it is a beautiful symphony. So that's the image that comes to my head, and hopefully it'll come to your head the next time you read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. All right, so chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, one body, many gifts. Chapter 14, these gifts are for the edification, for the building up of the church. You can read that. And then chapter 13, just to kind of summarize and close out on chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, love is the essence of God in his body. God is love, and that love binds us together so that as we use our spiritual gifts, they're used in concert. All right. Now I'm going to move on from kind of an overview, introduction into spiritual gifts, to looking at these three spiritual gifts of leadership, administration, and wisdom. And to start that off, I want to read a passage from Exodus 18. So you can go ahead and turn to Exodus 18 in your Bibles. The context of Exodus 18 is that the people that we would call the Hebrews, eventually would be called the Israelites, are coming out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They're wandering in the desert. They haven't quite got to Mount Sinai yet. And a guy named Jethro comes out to meet them. Jethro is described as the father-in-law of Moses. And if you had read Exodus before that, Moses, when he had fled Egypt for 40 years, he went and stayed with Jethro, married one of his daughters, and so, you know, he was his father-in-law. So his father-in-law had heard about all these things that had happened to the Israelites, how they'd come out of Egypt away from Pharaoh, and he wanted to see what God was doing. So he went out and talked to him. So as they're meeting together, I just can see it in my head. He's like, "Oh, how are you doing? You know, it's so good to see you. I hadn't seen you in a while. I've heard all these wonderful things about what God has done for you. I want to see what's going on." And so the next day, Moses goes out, and I'm just thinking he's sitting out under whatever shade he can find out there, and this huge group of people come, and they come before Moses so that they can talk to him about something that's going on, like a case that they bring that he needs to decide for them. And the line goes on for a long time. There are hours out there. People are thirsty. It's hot. Maybe it's windy with dust blowing in people's faces. I'm not sure, but that's the scene. And his father, Jethro, looks at that scene and he says, and now this is where I want to read it. So if you'll stand for the reading of the word. I'm going to actually start at verse 17 and just go ahead and read through 27. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way which they are to walk and the work that they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you'll be able to endure, and all these people also will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and tens. They judged the people at all times, the difficult disputes they would bring to Moses, but every minor dispute they would themselves judge. Then Moses bade his father-in-law farewell, and he went on his way into his own land. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. I think it's pretty clear that you can see administration, wisdom, and leadership here in all three of these here in this story. So I'll let you kind of make the connections between that story and the gifts. But and then also I challenge you as you're hearing about these gifts of the Spirit that you know, maybe there's somebody that comes to mind. Maybe you yourself say, you know, I have that particular inclination. Don't couch that. Don't bury it. Let the Holy Spirit go where He wants to in your life with that. Some of the gifts of the Spirit are what we would call miracles, supernatural in a way, but in the upside down way of the kingdom, in God's kingdom. I mean, if we really kind of try to get into the mind of Jesus as he was walking through the earth, the kingdom of God is really what's normal. The kingdom of darkness is not. The kingdom of the world is not. The fallen world is not. And so if we live in a culture, even if we live in a culture that downplays miracles, that tries to find a natural explanation for everything, I think it's important to remember that these gifts of the Spirit are intended to be normal in God's kingdom, in the church as well. So the first of the three I want to talk about is administration. And these I don't have a lot to say about each one of these, but administration, the Greek word for administer is connected to the idea of a pilot that's piloting a ship. And, you know, there's a predetermined course and destination, and the pilot is managing things to stay on course. He's not necessarily making big decisions about, you know, whether to change course, but he's kind of piloting the ship. So the gift of administration is a spiritual gift that's mentioned. It's, I think, relevant to our church. It would be the ability to hold on and organize things around the vision of the church, you know, where we're headed, where God is leading us, and organize things in the church around that, and also discerning, you know, what programs and ministries that align with that vision and which don't. Ability to see that. That also comes with knowing people and what their gifts are to share, so that they can be organized and put into the places where they will be also supporting and heading towards the vision. They have the ability. People with the gift of administration have the ability to help establish leadership, establish motivation towards the implementation of the vision. Now, some characters in Scripture that you could look to that have this gift of administration might be Silas and Timothy. They weren't necessarily the visionaries depicted by Scripture, but they were workers that were sent to be leaders in certain areas at different times to help help people to get back on the course or to stay on the course. The next gift that I wanted to speak of is wisdom. Again, you can think back to the passage we just read and how wisdom was shown through what Jethro said and how Moses allowed that wisdom to shape things. Wisdom is not just about knowing things, but it's this spiritual, spirit-led craft of knowing the how to apply God's truths to specific situations. You probably know people like this, that in a moment of discernment, they consistently, maybe not every time, but they consistently have sound advice. With wisdom, it is all these gifts, but specifically wisdom is taught, we're taught in Scripture that wisdom is in Christ. And so a connection with Christ, think John 15, the branch in the vine, a close connection with Jesus Christ, an abiding relationship, not just a, you know, thanks God for saving me, but, you know, I know you, Jesus, as my brother, my friend, my Savior, my King, and I'm looking, I got my eyes fixed on you. That sort of abiding relationship is linked with wisdom. Because if it's Spirit-led, it's not just a person's own ability, innate ability. It's powered by the Holy Spirit. Again, this isn't that, what is the phrase? Hindsight is 20/20. Is that the right phrase? Hindsight is, this isn't wisdom like saying after something has already happened, then pointing back and like, I knew that was going to happen. Not like that. But a wisdom ahead of time in which, you know, the person has a special gift of discernment. I don't know how else to say it. A special gift of discernment that can be a benefit to the body and to the group. It risks in faith with the Spirit. You might have the gift of wisdom, but you're afraid to speak up. But your gift is needed. Your gift is needed in this body. And there's a risk there. And that's okay. We have to be okay with determining whether or not we have certain spiritual gifts or not, because Scripture says that the children of wisdom justify her or vindicate her. And what that means is you risk in faith with the Spirit, trusting in the Spirit, and if that turns out to be a wise decision, then the children, the effects of that wise decision will come back on that wisdom and show that it was wisdom. It was, in fact, wisdom. And that's how we can discern. That's how you naturally discern whether or not a person that you know has wisdom. And you probably go to some people like that because you know that they have that they have wisdom. In Luke 21, Jesus told his disciples that there would be a wisdom that the Spirit would give them in moments of trial and persecution. And that was a wisdom they didn't have to prepare ahead of time for. So wisdom is one of those spiritual gifts, one of the spiritual gifts, and it's vital for our congregation. Finally, the last one I want to talk about is leadership. Leadership. And as succinctly as I can put it, as I prepared for this, leadership is the spiritual gift of doing what we see God doing, which sounds more like following, but that's kind of the point. Leaders in a congregation have a close connection with Christ. Again, back to that abiding relationship, that pursuit of holiness, that pursuit of Christ. There's this sense of always wanting to do what we see God doing. That's what Jesus did when he was here. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And now, Matthew 23, in Matthew 23, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees talking about the Pharisees to his disciples, and he's saying, you know, the Pharisees, they love all of the places of honor. They love to be the top people, to have the best dress, but, you know, they're really whitewashed tombs. You, as in you disciples, you apostles, don't call yourselves leaders, is what he says. He says, don't call yourselves leaders because you have one leader, and that's Christ. You have one leader, that's Christ. All right, now how do I bring that in a way that might fit with this church. Because, you know, later on the Bible says about the spiritual gift of leadership. Well, let's think about sheep. Sheep. You know, sheep is a analogy that's often used in Scripture. I got to looking into the behavior of sheep, and sure enough, in a flock of sheep, there's the shepherd, which we mainly hear about, but then there's also, within the social structure and unit of a flock of sheep, there are leader sheep. There really are. They tend to be the older sheep of the flock, a little more, maybe more dominant. But if those leader sheep go out, the flock will follow. And so, to me, that was a great image for how you can have the gift of leadership and yet not be the leader, because Christ is the leader. We're leader sheep. Maybe that'll help you remember that. But in the gift of leadership, in the spiritual gift of leadership, as Scripture describes it, things that are important and that come out of that gift are being on guard for yourself, okay, so personal holiness, and for the flock, against false teaching, against what the Bible describes as the wolves coming in. The gift of leadership, the leaders are keeping watch over the souls of the flock because they will give an account. Think of that, especially Ben and Dennis and Mark and I. Exercising oversight voluntarily and joyfully and acting as examples for others, and examples not as the whitewashed tombed, you know, look good, but examples as in, you know, pursuing your relationship with Jesus, that connection to the vine, pursuing the kingdom of God above all, and not in a flesh-derived way, but in a spirit-led way. So, administration, wisdom, and leadership. I think we can see all of those gifts in this story about Moses in chapter 18 of Exodus. So I want to close by just saying, if you're a member of the body of Christ, you're given a spiritual gift. If you're a believer in Christ and you have sanctified him as Lord of your hearts, your gift is given to build up the church. The church is vitally important, but so are you as an individual. You are designed by God specifically and given gifts for the building up of the church. The church is the bride of Christ and a witness to the world of who Jesus is, thus the importance of its edification and building. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have graciously bestowed many gifts on your people throughout the world. And even in this congregation here, Lord, as I look around, I think of people that are members of our congregation, Lord, I know that you have endowed us with many spiritual gifts and many gifts of many kinds. Lord, I just pray that we will find the courage to discern with wisdom where those gifts are and how they contribute to the vision that you've given us and how we can continue to lead people to you, to point people to you, and let your Spirit draw them close so that they too can become part of your kingdom. Thank you for all that you do for us, and in your name that I pray. Amen.
Please turn to number 494 in the black hymnal. And please stand as we sing, and then following the benediction, we'll sing one verse of number 323 in the red book, God be with you till we meet again. 494 in the black book, please stand. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word,
Dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.
I spoke about the kingdom of God. If you don't know what that is, if you've never really thought about it, it's part of being belonging to Christ, making him Lord of your heart. If you've never made him Lord of your heart, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus with all that you have, to give up the world, now is the time. So if you need, if that is you, and you are ready to make a decision that says, I'm convinced the Spirit is moving me and I will follow Jesus, then today is the day. There were the four elders up here. So after dismissal, come find one of us and we will pray with you and we'll help you to be brought into the kingdom. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the messages you've given us today. Challenge us by your Spirit to grow in you, to grow in relationship, and to take what you've given us, not for ourselves, but for the building up of the church. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and dismiss us with your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.